head over to YouTube and search for ukulele. And believe it or not, you'll find a bazillion videos. From Tiny Tim on The Tonight Show, to a performance of While My Ukulele Gently Weeps in Central Park. And there's also music videos from Kansas City's own 140-member ukulele club, the Ukesters, performing songs such as this Marilyn Monroe cover.
I wanna be loved by you, just you.
I'm Jabalani LaFall, and we'll hear how the ukulele has found itself at a new height of popularity on the next Central Standard after this hour's news. City. It was the fabulous furry Uke brothers who said, ukuleles will get you through times with no money better than money will get you through times with no ukulele. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. No one knows this axiom better than ukulele enthusiasts and players, the Ukesters, who are in the studio with us today. Our guests are members of the KC Ukesters, David Furman, Nancy Howe, Ken Kelly, Linda Tilton, and Chuck Wilson. The KC Ukesters will be playing at the Shawnee Town 1929 Speaker Series on Tuesday, August 14th at 7 p.m., free and open to the public, with more info on our website at kcur.org. Now we're about to get uked up. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Tell us about the KC Ukesters, Chuck Wilson.
The Kansas City Ukesters began in January of 07 with five of us. We now have over 140 members. About 30 to 40 show up at our regular monthly meetings. And then we have a core of about a dozen players that play gigs out. And so that's basically what we do. And we cater to ukulele players of all level.
Now, it's ukulele or ukulele, or is it tomato-tomato thing?
It's tomato-tomato. If you're in Hawaii, you would best say ukulele. But for mainlanders, it's usually ukulele.
Sort of an understatement to say that you're a ukulele or ukulele enthusiast. You have on a shirt that says, Uke Thong Ukulele Straps. Tell us about that.
Well, when I took up the ukulele, I was looking for a sound hole hook strap for ukulele, and I couldn't find one, so I started making them myself, and now I make them and sell them all over the world.
What was the eureka moment that you had when you decided to call it a uke thong?
It just came to me.
Like those things do.
Yes.
Like those things do. Ken Kelly, describe the ukulele scene here in KC. Do we have an idea of how the uke got popular here?
Well, remember that the big heavyset Hawaiian guy that sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Izzy, they called him?
Right.
You know, that was being played on the radio a whole lot. I think he's made the uke very popular here and all over the world. Also, Jake, I can't usually say his last name, but the
Shimabakur,
yeah. People watch him playing While My Guitar Gently Weep, While My Uke Gently Weeped on YouTube, and all kinds of people get interested in the uke after they see him do that.
And we'll talk about the uke going viral and some of those other elements that have made the ukulele popular. But let's start back with you, Ken Kelly, and then go around our uke roundtable here. What do you like about the ukulele? Describe the type of ukulele you have and what you like about playing.
Okay. Well, I've played guitar since even before the Beatles. I started like with Buddy Holly way back there in like 62, and I started playing guitar. And once you can play guitar, when you become proficient at it, you can easily pick up the uke or the banjo or the electric bass. And so I did that. So I guess it's the What I like about it, though, most is like if you play in a band through your life, you got to carry all this equipment with you all the time. But when you're a uke player, you are traveling light. They have it's the uke is kind of like the harmonica of the string world. It's just so easy and portable, and you can take it with you. That's what appeals to me the most, the portability of the little ukulele.
Give us a quick strum.
Sure.
Bam. Mm-hmm. Chuck Wilson, what type of ukulele do you have, and what do you like about playing it?
This is an Eddie Finn concert size uke. Concert is the middle-sized ukulele. It has about a 15-inch scale as opposed to a 14-inch scale on a soprano or a 17-inch scale on a tenor. So it's kind of in the middle. I've played guitar all my life, and I've discovered new things on the ukulele I never would have discovered with the guitar. The joy of strumming is really amazing on these little instruments. And this one has low G, so it sounds more...
That's concert quality, Chuck.
Thank you.
That's concert quality. Uke thong style. Now, let's go to Linda Tilton. You have a banjo lele.
Yeah, some people call them banjo leles. I call it banjo ukulele. Some people call them banjo ukes. And this baby was distributed by Sears and Roebuck. It's a 1926 ukulele, banjo ukulele, and it's different than anyone I've ever seen because the round part of this instrument is called the pot. And typically, when you see a banjo or even a banjo ukulele, there's a lot of metal on the outside to hold the head onto the body of the pot. But this is all mahogany wood, and it has a very different sound than most banjo ukuleles.
It looks like a tribal instrument, sort of, if I can describe it to the listeners. There's a sort of almost drum skin element
skin
at the bottom.
To it. And it's super lightweight. And I got interested in playing, especially the banjo ukulele, because I hang around with a lot of people who play stringed instruments, old Appalachian type of tunes. And I got sick of sitting there being an observer, and I wanted to be a participant. So a friend gave me this for Christmas a few years ago.
Now, were you a guitarist like Chuck and Ken?
I'm different. I played guitar in the sixth grade. And so, you know, not really. So I came as a really novice musician with this, and that's one reason why I like this. And I teach students in Lawrence, and I really like working with beginning students because coming from no background in playing instruments, it's a really easy thing to pick up and be successful at quickly.
Well, let's hear what the 1926 Sears and Roebuck antique banjolele sounds like. That's the stuff.
It has a different sound than the other ones, too, yeah.
It does. That's the stuff. Let's get over to our husband and wife team, David Furman and Nancy Howell.
Yes.
What made you guys get into playing the ukulele?
Well, as Ken was saying, you know, going to something where you don't have to carry a lot of equipment around, that was very attractive to me because I started my career off as a bass player. And I bought more and more equipment, and pretty soon I was lugging things around. And then all of a sudden the ukulele was very attractive because it was so small and so easy to move around, and the sound was great, and I had people around who liked to play it. And now, as it turns out, we're in charge of a PA system. So that's sort of a moot point now because now I have to lug around a PA system.
Or a uke point.
A uke point, indeed.
A uke point. Now, Nancy, what came first, the love of the ukulele or the love of David Furman?
Oh, the ukulele, come on. What do you think? Because I didn't even know David when I first got a ukulele because I was just 14 years old and I saved up all my S&H Green stamps to get one. So it was way before David, who didn't show up until about 20-some years ago. But I honestly got to tell you, I think he's playing uke now just to be romantic with me because we even had a 1930s themed wedding. And in the 20s and 30s, the uke was the romantic instrument.
Did you play the uke to woo your wife?
No, I wasn't playing the ukulele at that time. I hired a ringer.
A ringer, a ukulele ringer.
Well, actually, he was a guitar ringer, but he played that style of music, that 30s and 40s type of stuff.
Uke. You are listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. We have in studio members of the Kansas City Ukesters, David Furman, Nancy Howe, Ken Kelly, Linda Tilton, and Chuck Wilson. We're getting all into the nuances of ukulele playing and ukulele culture here in the Metro. What made you take up the ukulele in the first place, David? Aside from your wife, you were a guitar player.
Well, I was a bass player.
A bass player,
yeah,
yes.
I'm also a guitar player. It was something that I started playing to I was in a group up in Seattle, like a kids group. We would do elementary schools and stuff like that. So having a ukulele was sort of fun and, you know, novelty and stuff like that. And I just sort of stuck with it. I really liked it a lot. I liked the sound, and I liked the mobility of it. I mean, you can take this. You don't have to check this when you go into on an airline.
You don't have to check it?
No, it just goes in the overhead.
Do you ever get onto the plane strumming it?
I haven't, but it's a good thought. Might get more peanuts that way or something.
Well, you mean thrown at you?
Right. Can I get a strum? We don't have a rim shot here for that.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Without further ado, let's get into our first selection of the KC Ukesters. What are you going to play here, Chuck Wilson?
We're going to play My Walking Stick. And Ken knows more about the history of this song than I do.
Ken, take it away.
Okay, this was a big hit by the Mills Brothers back in the 30s. So here we go.
Without my walking stick, I'd go insane. Can't look my best, I'd be undressed without my cane. Must have my walking stick, for it may rain. And when it pours, can't be outdoors without my cane. If I ever left the house without my walking stick, well, that would just be something I could never explain. The thing that makes me click on Lover's Lane would be for naught if I were caught without my cane.
Take it, kazoos.
That was Walking Stick, performed by the Casey Uxters, who are in studio live today. David Furman, Nancy Howe, Ken Kelly, Linda Tilton, and Chuck Wilson. My favorite part of that performance was when Ken Kelly said, "Take it away, kazoos," and then put the kazoo in his own mouth and went in with the kazoo. That is what we would call hot fire, Ken.
Thank you. Hot fire.
Hot fire. Hot fire. Any advice, Ken, for brand new ukulele players out there?
Just go get yourself a uke. It can be a cheap one. Get it tuned up to My Dog Has Fleas. That would be G-C-E-A. And start to strum real simply. I suggest you learn first two chords. A good two chords to learn to begin would be the C and the G7th. You can do a lot of stuff with those two chords.
It's interesting that you say you should start with My Dog Has Fleas and that sort of mnemonic device on playing the chord progressions, because in the Hawaiian indigenous language, ukulele roughly translates to jumping flea for the fast way that it's played.
Right.
Is ukulele, to that end, easier to learn than the guitar?
Oh, yes, because it only has four strings. It's smaller. It's a lot easier than the guitar. But if you can play the guitar, it's going to be a breeze to pick up the uke.
Chuck, famous ukulele player Kimo Hussey says the number one rule of ukulele playing is to have fun. Do you find that to be true?
Absolutely. That's what ukulele is all about. And if you go into a room full of musicians, guitar players, mandolin players, whatever, they're always trying to outdo each other. But ukulele players are different. It's a happy gathering. There's just no clash of egos, and everybody just has a ball.
Linda Tilton, ukuleles are often associated with Hawaii and other island-type musical genres. It has a Portuguese origin and influence as well. But you mentioned some of your disposition toward Appalachian music and bluegrass-oriented things. How do you, and to that end, the KC Ukesters, put a sort of mainland Kansas City spin on ukulele playing?
Wow. Well, we have, to put the Kansas City spin on, we do a lot of Midwestern kind of songs, like the Kansas City is like a standard of stuff that we do, too. We do some Hawaiian stuff, but we don't do that much Hawaiian music. I'm the resident hula dancer with the Kansas City Ukesters. So we do some Hawaiian stuff, and I do the hula dance with it. But we don't have so much. We have more of a swing repertoire, 30-40s repertoire, more than the Hawaiian genre.
You are the resident
hula dancer.
Hula dancer.
Yeah.
For the KC Ukesters. How does that work?
So like when Kellen Kelly, for example, is doing Blue Hawaii, I put on a flower lay around my neck, and I do belly dancing. I do different styles of dancing, and so I do the floor show is the little grass shack, or it's Blue Hawaii, or something.
Do you put
like
down
that.
The uke and give it a full go, or
I do, yeah. I'm just dancing around.
That's the only way to do it.
That's the only way to do it.
That's the only way to do it,
for sure. Yeah.
How do you, David and Nancy, bring the KC flavor to the uke?
Well, it's sort of the same thing as far as Nancy and I have always had a love for 20s and 30s and 40s, and so those are generally the songs that we bring to the group. But we do things, I mean, there's 90s songs, I mean, there's 80s, 70s, 60s, the whole gauntlet of songs, gamut, I mean. Thank you.
You can run the gamut and the gauntlet with a
youth. I mean, I guess that's right.
Pretty versatile.
What was the question? How do we bring the KC?
Yeah. I think you answered it. You used the words gamut and gauntlet, so I think we've pretty much covered that. Chuck Wilson, talk about the process of writing an original piece with the ukulele. Is that a different sort of approach?
Well, I usually come up with a tagline first, like Cash Cab Reject or my ukulele tattoo. Ukulele tattoo started because I did get an ukulele tattoo on my lower leg. And right after I got it, I bent over to look at it, and I threw my back out. And so for about 3 weeks, it was agony. So
you threw your back out?
The back healed about the time the tattoo did.
Cash Cab Reject. Tell us about that.
Cash Cab is my favorite show. That was the first song I ever wrote. I didn't write any songs till I took up the ukulele. So
you picked the theme first, and then how do you get into the musical composition element of it?
That just comes. There's no formula to it as such.
Ken, have you written original pieces using the ukulele? I imagine it's pretty easy to improv, you know, once you've gotten into the uke culture.
I didn't start. I have written a song, but it's only because I come to the Ukesters and I see Chuck with the courage to play his original stuff. There's some other guys and gals in the group that do it too. So I have written one song. And yes, I learned it on the uke and I play the 12-bar blues behind the song.
What is that song called that you wrote?
Walmart Lesbian Blues.
Walmart Lesbian Blues. And I imagine, Chuck, that do you have a theme song for the uke thong business?
No, I don't.
I think you should put that into it.
I think you're right.
I think you should put that in circulation.
Absolutely.
I think you should definitely put that in circulation. Walmart. How did you come up with that idea?
Well, here's, I have my brother-in-law writes, and I was just going to call it the Lesbian Blues, and then I went online and Googled that, and I found out that there's like 800 lesbian blues. So he says, well, you got to put something else in there to differentiate it from all those other lesbian blueses. And so I thought, well, it's about... So I stuck in Walmart. I'm on YouTube. Come up, go on over to Walmart Lesbian Blues and listen to it.
Now, is this a double entendre thing? Are you referring to the blue vests of the Walmart people at the entrances of the Walmart that say, have a nice day?
No, the gist of the song is that my wife tells me that she's going to Walmart, but really she's going to Missy B's to see her girlfriend.
Wow.
Walmart. So she's saying it's Walmart, but she leaves at 10:30 and goes to Missy B's. You know what Missy B's is?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Okay. I do.
That's what the song's about.
That's off the chain. Indeed, off the chain. Chain's over here. That concept is on the opposite side of the room,
right,
of the chain. What are the tricks of the trade in terms of tone and pitch to make each song different, Ken, with the ukulele?
To make each song
different.
You can change your strums, you can change your the keys. Sometimes you can tune your ukulele way up. Like some of the real classic tunes in ukulele are tuned in, not in C like we're tuned in now, but tuned way up in E flat. And so you get like Tiptoe Through the Tulips. Tiptoe. It's way up in E flat. That changes a little bit. But mostly strums, and you can go to picking instead of strumming. That's the way I think you change most.
You got tricks of the trade, Chuck?
I do. I'm a finger style player, so I have a lot of different picks and strums that I use. Especially in jazz.
Does anybody in the studio right now set their uke on fire and play with their tongue a la Jimi Hendrix? No takers?
Well, Steve, we have a uke player that does Jimi Hendrix songs, but he's not here today. He was supposed to be, but...
Oh, nuts. We're about to get into our next song. Tell us about it. Chuck?
Bob Dylan song, You Ain't Going Nowhere.
You Ain't Going Nowhere, Bob Dylan, by the KC Ukesters.
I don't care how many letters they send. a flute and a gun that shoots, tailgates and substitutes. Strap yourself to a tree with roots, you ain't going nowhere. Ooh, we ride behind. Tomorrow's the day my bride's gonna come. Oh Lord, are we gonna fly down in the easy chair?
Tag it.
Oh no, we gonna fly down in the easy chair.
Ain't Going Nowhere by Bob Dylan, as interpreted by the KC Ukesters, our ukulele enthusiasts. Our guests are, of course, members of the KC Ukesters: David Furman, Nancy Howe, Ken Kelly, Linda Tilton, and Chuck Wilson. The KC Ukesters next show will be August 10th from 7 to 9 in the evening at the Great Day Cafe in Overland Park. More info is on our website at kcur.org. The KC Ukesters will also be playing at Shawneetown 1929 Speaker Series on Tuesday, August 14th at 7 p.m., free and open to the public. Again, more info on our website at kcur.org. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more uke. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. It's safe to say that today's guests live by the term, ask not what your country can do for ukes, but what ukes can do for your country. It's the ukulele hour on today's program as we talk to people who love playing what some people have jokingly described as a guitar that never grew up. But that's a good thing. We have in studio members of the KC Ukesters, David Furman, Nancy Howe, Ken Kelly, Linda Tilton, and Chuck Wilson. The KC Ukesters next show will be on August 10th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Great Day Cafe in Overland Park. More info on our website at kcur.org. Chuck Wilson, the ukulele has gone viral in recent years, most notably, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, Jake Shimabukuro, whose take on George Harrison's tome garnered about 10 million views on YouTube. Talk about the appeal of the ukulele in pop culture. I mean, it was big in the 20s and 30s. Talk about how big it is now.
It's as big as it was in the 20s and 30s or bigger. Owners of music stores tell me that they can't keep ukuleles on the shelf. They can't keep them in stock. And I think that Jake video of While My Guitar Gently Weeps had a huge effect on this current craze. A lot of people don't realize that George Harrison always carried two ukuleles with him, and a lot of the Beatles songs were actually composed on the ukulele. So it just lends itself to so many playing styles. There's some really great jazz players out there that play just ukulele.
It's very interesting that you mention George Harrison carrying around a ukulele and using ukuleles to compose some of his great songs. He was one of the great songwriters with the Beatles, along with McCartney. It's like a harmonica for guitars. Ken Kelly, you said that earlier.
Yes, uh-huh.
And how does that help in the composition process?
Well, it means you can have your instrument with you wherever you are and you're in the mood to compose a song or an idea comes to you. You grab that uke fast and put it to music.
Talk about the different types of ukuleles and what type of sound they emit. We have the banjolele that we talked about earlier that Linda Tilton has over there, the soprano, the tenor, the concert that Chuck Wilson is sporting here. What are the different sounds?
Well, the highest sound would be the soprano, and that's the one that most people have if you go and you find it at the garage sale or you go to the music store. And then the other ones, like the concert, that's for if you're going to be playing in a big group and you need to have a little more projection. Well, you use that. And by the way, the banjo uke, that's what it was all about. It was projection. Ukuleles are so small. They have such a small box. They don't put out that much sound. So in vaudeville back in the 1920s, they came up with the banjo uke so that they could project it into big
auditoriums, and you could hear it just like you can hear a banjo a lot more than you can hear a guitar. They really project.
Have you ever repurposed Oh Susanna with the banjo? It's actually a banjo-lele. Not a banjo on your knee, but a banjo-lele.
I can't hang with Old Susanna.
You can't hang? Why not? Why not? What's so difficult about Old Susanna?
It's one of those songs I just can't hang with. But I like the idea of it, though. I may incorporate that, though.
Sounds like a challenge, Linda.
It is a challenge, yes.
Sounds like
is.
A challenge indeed. Talk about, Nancy, the different types of songs that you guys play in the KC Ukesters. And the type of sampling we're hearing on today's live broadcast.
The beauty of the Kansas City Ukesters is that it's a truly democratic group. What that means is that when we have meetings, we have individuals bring songs for the whole group to learn. And when you have 140 members, it's always potluck. You never know what's going to show up. And some things are great and they live on forever in our uke repertoire. And other times, you know, they die on the vine after the first playthrough. But what that means is, you know, there is no first chair ukulele. There's no king or queen of this group. So we get a lot of variety. And even today, the songs that we've brought represent different styles like folk. And we have one coming up that will represent girl groups of the 50s and 60s. And we started out with a Mills Brothers song. So you can see the songs span decades and styles of music and types of artists.
Bob Dylan, we just played as well. And Chuck, you recently had a sort of Woody Guthrie retrospective for ukulele players, the theme being this uke is your uke, this uke is my uke, that replaced land. Tell us about that experience.
On Woody Guthrie's birthday, which was July 14th, we did a show at the Great Day Cafe of Woody Guthrie music, and it was one of our best gigs. We handed out song sheets so everybody could sing along with us, and It was just one of those rare gigs that are just really special.
Have you ever gotten totally uked out with all 140 some odd members of the KC Ukester Collective on one stage? Has that ever happened?
Luckily not.
Luckily not. Speaking of which, what happens at the monthly meeting of the KC Uksters? Take us into that sort of inner sanctum, Chuck.
If you're bringing a song, you have to bring 40 copies for everybody to look on to. And so we share songs. We talk about upcoming events. It's just an evening of music. Nancy,
you had something there.
Yeah, we started out with a group of people who gave us a format, and Ken really researched it to start. But we try to start with a few songs that actually have only two or three simple chords so that even beginners can be a part of what we're doing. And we spend time introducing ourselves to each other and talking about ukuleles, how we got into them, what kind we're playing, where we live, so that we can keep connecting. And then as the evening progresses, we do more difficult songs. We take a break so that we can swap and sell merchandise to each other because, you know, when you're addicted to ukuleles, you got to pass one on in order to buy a new one. And we buy uke thongs and tuners and strings from Chuck. And it's a truly nice social event. And I've made some of my best friends in Kansas City by being part of it.
A uke thong is a string for a ukulele for the listeners that may just be joining us. It's not an undergarment shaped like a ukulele. Just wanted to kind of...
It's a ukulele strap.
It's a ukulele strap. Exactly. Is there a ukulele pledge of allegiance or a ukulele prayer or a ukulele pledge that you say at these meetings? Is there a ritualistic element?
No secret handshakes.
No secret handshakes.
No ritual at all.
No ritual at all. What's the mix of members like?
We have from teenagers to people who are 80. So we get a real good mix of ages and skill levels.
Right. How do you deal with and navigate the generation gap, if at all?
Everybody just shows up and has fun. So that's all that's needed to bridge that gap.
Well, we're about to get into the next ukulele song. What are we about to hear?
We're about to hear Iko Iko.
Okay, tell us about it. Igo Igo?
I'll tell you a little bit about it. It was a popular song that was a hit by the Dixie Cups in the 60s, but it's also been recorded by the Wild Chapatulas and Cyndi Lauper, and it just keeps coming back as a popular song. Started out as a girl group kind of thing.
All right, Igo Igo, take it away.
My grandma and your grandma sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. Talking about, hey now,
hey now, hey now,
hey now, I go and play. Giacomo Finanane, Giacomo Finanane. Look at my king all dressed in red.
I go and play. I bet you $5 he'll kill you dead. Giacomo Finanane,
talking about, hey now,
hey now. Giacomo Finanane,
my flag boy and your flag boy
sitting by the fire.
My flag boy told your flag boy, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. Talking about, hey now,
hey now,
hey now,
hey now,
I go on day.
Giacomo Finanane, Giacomo Finanane,
see that guy all dressed in green.
I go on day. He's not a man, he's a loving machine.
Giacomo Finanane, talking about, hey now,
hey now,
hey now,
hey now, hey now.
I go on day.
Giacomo Finanane, Giacomo Finanane,
talking about, hey now,
hey now,
hey now,
hey now.
I go on day.
Giacomo Finanane,
Giacomo Finanane.
Igo Igo by the Dixie Cups, as interpreted by the KC Ukesters, the Kansas City Ukesters, a collective of ukulele enthusiasts, players, aficionados, and really just uked out people. Where do the meetings happen of the KC Ukesters every month, Chuck? Or Kent?
Yeah, the meetings happen at St. Pius Church. That's at 55th and Woodson in Mission. It's the second Monday of the month from 6:30 to 8:30. And, again, anybody's invited. You can just be a beginner or be very advanced. Anyone may come.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. As I mentioned, we have in studio members of the KC Ukesters, David Furman and Nancy Howe, a husband and wife team, Ken Kelly and Linda Tilton, and Chuck Wilson, Ukesters all. How do ukulele players evolve in your group? You mentioned anybody's welcome, anybody with a ukulele, anybody who wants to have fun, anybody with an enthusiasm for the ukulele. How do you evolve as a youth player and really make your name known to be able to pull strings, so to speak, within the Ukesters?
Well, as one of our members mentioned earlier, we're pretty an equal group. Nobody is the king or the big cheese, you know. But I tell you how you get better at the uke is that you come to our meetings and you learn to play those first little simple chords like the C and the G seventh, and then you stay around for the meeting and they play something more complex, and you learn a few more new chords, and then you go home and you practice every day. And, you know, when you've got the ukulele, you're practicing something you love to do. And so you get better and better. And there's something called, what we call it in the Ukesters, muscle memory. That if you practice enough, practice your new chords, and eventually it just comes to your arm, your fingers automatically jump to the right place on the uke. Again, we call that muscle memory, and if you practice every day and you come and you learn your new songs, you're going to get better and better.
Linda Tilton, you had something to add.
Yeah, too. Since I came with virtually really no musical background, really, I played guitar in grade school, and now I'm a 53-year-old person. So my evolution, I remember trying to – the hand shapes, the chord shapes were different on a ukulele than they are on guitar, and I remember just saying, I will never, ever figure this out. It's too confusing. Forget it. I can't do it. And I just kept like piddling around like Ken was saying. And now I'm out. I'm doing solos. I'm teaching ukulele lessons in Lawrence. And so I've really came from literally nothing. And now I'm doing performing. So there's a lot of growth there.
David Furman, what was the learning curve like for you?
Well, it's the guitar has many of the same shapes, chord shapes, as the ukulele does. And you just have to remember, you know, a G is a C and a C is a G and as you switch it around. So if you play guitar, it's actually not a bad transition. If you're coming cold, it's like any instrument, learning all the new positions for your fingers, whether it's, you know, piano or bass or whatever. It's all new, so you have to learn it from scratch.
Linda Tilton just mentioned her solo efforts with the uke. What are you guys' solo efforts, David and Nancy, with the uke? How do you guys practice? Do you perform elsewhere? What do you do?
Well, if we want to have a good fight, we get together and practice. No, actually, we get along pretty well with our ukuleles, but we play a lot separately because there are certain skills. We have different skills that we bring to the ukulele, so, you know, we each work on things to benefit ourselves. But that means that when we get together, we select songs that we think complement our voices and our ukuleles. And we particularly focus on learning songs that are a little bit obscure, I think, sometimes, because we're interested in the revival of music from the 20s and 30s. And the fun thing for us is that we love to dress up by the decade. And so when we go out to perform, we tend to look the part of the decade if we can pull that off.
You mentioned sometimes you're looking for a good fight. You have something called, interestingly enough, the Uke Fight Club. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Ukulele Fight Club is a group in Lee's Summit. They meet twice a month on a Sunday, usually at the Brewtop Pub, and their style is a little different than ours in that it's still really democratic, but what happens is they play songs like they are rapid fire. You know, it's like speed dating, only it's speed ukulele, and they go through probably 25 or 30 songs for 3 hours, all at different skill levels, and they tend to focus more on contemporary music, although that's not exclusively what they do. And the Kansas City Ukesters and the North Kansas City Ukesters actually are more similar, and one of the things we do in our groups a lot of the time is have ukulele lessons. So many of us, for example, David and I really want to learn how to play solos on our ukuleles in the middle of songs. So we have that ukulele group that brings a different flavor. And we should, Linda has mentioned the spinoff in Lawrence, and we also have a group now starting in Cameron called the Cameron Ukulele Club. So each has a different feel, and you learn different things from different groups and players.
Is the first rule of the Ukulele Fight Club not to talk about the Ukulele Fight Club?
No. They're quite public about being a fight club, but they do meet in the basement, you know, so it looks secret and it's dark.
They meet in the basement?
The basement of the brew pub.
The basement of the brew pub.
Yeah.
So there's like a subterranean culture.
That's right.
A subculture of ukulele players,
uh-huh.
A sort of edginess.
That's right.
It.
But they also are a performing group, so they definitely get out in public.
On Twitter, Justin writes, "My baby brother and best lady will be rocking a ukulele version of The Glory of Love as a recessional at the wedding in October." So ukuleles have a resonance with love and weddings. Talk about that a little bit.
As one of our first gigs, we actually were invited to play for a wedding brunch.
A wedding brunch?
Yeah. It was.
How did that come about?
I don't know. It was as big a surprise to me as it was to anybody else. But someone had just heard us out playing somewhere else and invited us to come in and play for a brunch. I had not before that thought of the uke as a wedding instrument. We have been invited to play other weddings, but sometimes by people who think we are Jake Shimabukuro, and we're not quite that good.
What happened at this wedding brunch? What did you play and how did it unfold?
At that time, we were mostly skilled with songs from World War I. We had a Beatles repertoire. We had our standards like this land is your land and hey, good looking. So it was an eclectic kind of set list, which is not unlike many weddings. You know, a good wedding band plays well for grandma and for, you know, cousin Joe, who is 6 years old.
Linda Tilton, when you perform by yourself, how is the sensibility different from when you perform with the Ukesters?
Oh, it's a lot scarier because I'm not used to singing in front of people. I usually sing in the shower or around the house or whatever. And so, like, when I'm singing in front of an audience, I get really – it's a real vulnerable feeling because it's just you and your instrument. I'm starting to do more stuff. I teach at the Americana Music Academy in Lawrence. And so we're starting to do more stuff out and about with us and our instruments. And I encourage students to do that too, because there's a safety in numbers and you can mess up a chord or whatever with a group or whatever. But when you're by yourself, it's just you and your uke. So they say, you know, to really be prepared to perform a song publicly, you need to practice it at least 500 times at home. And then you do it out in public and you're still going to mess it up until you do that a few more times. So.
500?
Yeah.
Songs?
Yeah.
Or 500 iterations of one song.
500 times of one song.
Of one song.
You need to practice it, yeah, to really get into what Kim was talking about, muscle memory, to really get it into you so you can stand in front of an audience and do it well. You need to practice that song about 500 times before you do it before an audience.
Is that true, Chuck Wilson, 500 times?
My rule of thumb is 50, but...
10% of
the more you do it, the better you get.
What about the diversity of your group, the cultural diversity of your group? Are there any Hawaiians who come in and say, actually, it's ukulele?
We have a handful of Hawaiians that come, or of Hawaiian heritage.
And how do you infuse that? Linda just mentioned that she puts her ukulele down and becomes a hula dancer.
Well, our group really isn't into Hawaiian music as such, so that hasn't been a big issue with us yet.
It's really sort of taken the Americana versions of what's popular here in Kansas City, the character of Kansas City, and putting the ukulele to those sort of tunes.
Correct.
And the woman, there's a woman in Lawrence, Kansas, who also teaches at the Americana, and she runs the Lawrence Ukulele Group, the fourth Tuesday at her house, and she's from Hawaii. Emily Russell was born in Hawaii, and she graduated from high school in Hawaii. So when we get together in Lawrence, we do more Hawaiian-based songs than the Ukesters do.
Ken Kelly, what's it like to see your work on the internet? You guys are developing and have your own YouTube channels. What's it like to put your work out there?
It's just a whole new world. You know, it used to be you're kind of at the mercy of managers and stuff like that, and only a few people could ever be seen by others, like on TV or anything. But now with YouTube, the world is my apple. And I've got just a little camera that I won in a contest, and I use that little camera. It's only that big to like, and I've in my bedroom. I've created my own little studio, and I make YouTube videos. And I've videoed other people. Like Chuck's come over a few times. I've put him on. It's really great. It's putting. We can go out into the world, and everybody can look at us, and we're not limited by managers and record labels and stuff like that.
Cutthroat uke agents.
Yeah.
Wow. Notorious in this business. What do you recommend for people's summer playlists? Who's doing the most interesting work on the uke right now in your distinction? Ken?
Oh, Jake, I think, would be one. Jake Shimabukuro. I forgot that right.
Shimabukuro.
Right. Well, that would be the one that comes to my mind. Maybe others could have some suggestions.
Chuck Wilson, you got some input?
One of the premier jazz players is Gerald Ross, and his stuff is just fantastic.
One of the interesting things about uke is its ability to transcend genre. We talked about jazz. We talked about the original Hawaiian roots. We talked about Walmart lesbian blues and the blues inflections here on this show. Talk about its ability to be sort of genre agnostic, the ukulele's ability.
It's just such an easy instrument to play. And if you come from guitar, it's a different approach to your music the music you played on guitar is so different playing on ukulele. You think differently. It just lends itself to every style and every possible way of playing.
Let's go out with a song. What are we going out with?
Jambalaya.
Jambalaya.
Hank Williams.
Guests are members of the KC Ukesters, David Furman, Nancy Howe, Ken Kelly, Linda Tilton, and Chuck Wilson. Tune in tomorrow when we'll be waking you up with the Morning Coffee Show. It's all about our local coffee scene here in Kansas City. Our Facebook fans asked us to do this show, so we're going to serve it up hot tomorrow. And you can chime in on your show ideas on Facebook as well. Just search for Central Standard on Facebook. Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi. Up to Date is next as the political pundits break down local and regional primary election results and make predictions about the November general election. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Enjoy your day.